Today's daf is Nida Yudalid. We're going to start at the very bottom of Yugimel Amubet from the last two words, Amar Abaye. Okay, continuing in the context of things that could cause men to have seminal emissions, Amar Abaye, Rochvei Gmalim Asurim Le'echol B'Truma. They can't eat truma. Here you see again, by the way, we ended with the Rama, who said that maybe this whole thing is only for times when we have to worry about taharot, although he then rejected saying that the Rosh quoted it lahalacha. But you see here that the whole discussion is really focused toward those eating truma and dealing with taharot. So he said, if you ride on camels, it's a problem to eat truma, because again, while riding on the camel, it'll rub up against the camel, and that will cause him to have a seminal emission. Tanya Namihachi, the Braita also supports this by saying, this is an interesting one, again, there's a bit of a crossover between does it cause, and how are you a bad person if this happens? So, Rochvei Gmalim Kulam Rishaim. Okay, all Rochvei Gmalim, there's a broad categorization, are all Rishaim, as we said, because it causes this emission. Hasapanim, those who work on boats, sailors, Kulam Tzadikim. Why? What's the connection? So, first of all, you could just simply say because they don't have that issue where they're riding on a camel and, you know, their body parts are rubbing against something. But Rashi says also because they're darim b'sakana v'libam la'avihem shebashamayim. And the assumption is that the camel rider has his mind on his body parts that are rubbing up against the camel, whereas the sailors are worrying about, is there going to be a storm and am I going to get killed? And therefore, they're always thinking about God, which keeps their mind in the right perspective. Again, whether this is true or not, I don't think they really meant this as a truth. They might have just been saying, this is where your mind should be in general. You know, try to keep focused on where you should be focused. Hachamarim, donkey riders, mehem rishayim, mehem tzadikim. Some are rishayim and some are tzadikim. So why, what's the issue with a donkey rider? Ika de amre, ha de machaf, ha de lo machaf. Some people say the difference is, do they have, are they on a saddle or are they not on a saddle? If they're on a saddle already, it's not a problem. If they're not saddled, then it rubs up against the body of the donkey. V'kadamre, ha de matartin, ha de lo matartin. Some people say that it's the way you sit. If you sit one, you know, what do you call it? Saddle?
Side saddle.
Side saddle is?
It's when you're sitting with your both legs together, okay. Facing sideways.
Right. So that's the second one. But if you're sitting regular, one on either.
Straddled.
That's the word I was thinking of. If you're sitting straddled, then it's a problem. But if you're side saddled, then it's not a problem. Rashi even says, Delomatartin, which is the side saddled, Rochev Ki'isha. If you remember, this came up once before, that the women, it wasn't sanua for them to sit that way. So they sat also side saddled. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi layet aman degane apirkid. He cursed those, it says, cursed be those who lie pirkid. Okay, what is pirkid? So this is, I'll just point out that there's a lot of these parts of these sugyas that the rabbis didn't really understand what the rabbis of the Gemara were talking about. In other words, it's not clear. So they try to come up with theories as to what this could be. So we're going to see one theory is they're lying on their back, and the opposite theory is they're lying on the stomach. Okay, so that either lying on your back or lying on your stomach is problematic, okay, depending on, you know, again, it wasn't clear what the problem is. So what the etymology of the word pirkit is. So Rashi says, pirkit is panav lamala, meaning you're lying on your back, and he explains, ugnutu shapamim shit kashe ever toch shenato, you might get an erection, v'yitgale. So first of all, this connects with the women, and it's niut, it's also not sanua, that it will be noticeable. V'od, and additionally he says, shiadab munachot lo ale varo mitchamem. That in that position, it's more likely his hands will get to that area. So now, that's Rashi. Tosfot quotes the Aruch. He says, the end of Tosfot, Apirkid, he says, De Perush Panav Mata. Okay, and he explains the etymology, Apirkid, Afoikid, I don't know what that means exactly, but he says that he understands it's the opposite. It's that you're lying on, right, which then again, what's the problem? Because then the aver is kind of like on something and rubbing against possibly the bed or something. I don't know. So again, there's a debate about what exactly is the issue, which obviously makes it then difficult to know which way you can't sleep. So then the Gemara says, Ini, Vehama, Rav Yosef, Pirkadan lo yikha kriyat shma. You're not allowed to read Kriyat Shema in that state. Now, what does it sound like from there? You just can't read Kriyat Shema. Kriyat Shema hu delo yikha. Ha magne shapridami. But you could sleep that way. So how do you explain that? So what do they answer? Well, le'inya magna ki matzle shapridami. When you want to go to sleep, as long as you go a little bit on your side, it's fine. But le'inya kriyat shma ki matzle asur. But Kriyat Shema, if you go a little bit on your side, it's not good enough. You have to lie basically totally on your side. Baha Rabbi Yochanan matzah v'kari Kriyat Shema. But Rabbi Yochanan, we know, tilted a little bit and read Kriyat Shema. So how is that okay? I don't know how they all knew that, but I guess they all knew that. Shani Rabbi Yochanan dibal basar hava. He was very overweight. And because he was overweight, so it was uncomfortable for him to lie a little bit, to lie all the way on his side. So they allowed him to lie a little bit on his side, where already you start to see, right? And as number one, they're not even sure what causes this or what doesn't cause it. Is it this way? Is it that way? And what the issues are. And number two, it's not so clear whether he's, you know, whether there's exceptions to the rule about, first of all, one could also say Rabbi Yochanan was a big Talmid Chacham, and they weren't really worried about, you know, maybe he should show a Dugmai sheet, but maybe they weren't worried about that. Again, it's a little unclear what is what. After someone asked a question after class yesterday, we were talking about it, that the question is, why is the Gemara dealing so much with this? And one suggestion that came to my mind was that maybe the rabbis were concerned that men wouldn't want to get married. And if they would find satisfaction in other ways, then it would prevent them from getting married. We see all over the Gemara that, you know,
they
women
would upset the way of the world, the way of
life. Right, and then it would upset, you know, how things are supposed to be. That people are supposed to get married and people are supposed to have children. And if they end up having satisfaction in other ways, either on, you know, by themselves, masturbation, other things, lying, riding on donkeys or whatever it might be, then they might end up getting married. Now you have to remember, why was it a pain to get married? Well, first of all, you have a lot of financial responsibilities toward your wife, right? Forever, basically, because even if you divorce her, then you have to give her ketubah money and all this, and it was responsibility. And maybe also they, you know, could have been they weren't as interested in women. Who knows? So for that reason, they wanted to encourage it, right? It's the women who always want to get married because they need someone to help them financially, generally. But the men, less so, and there's all sorts of sugyas we talk about, you know, mishum china, they wanted to encourage the men to get married, so they made it harder for the woman to accept, get a ketubah money or various things about the ketubah. Again, there was all different interpretations, if you remember, mishum china there, what it means, who we're trying to get married to who more wants to get married. But it seems that that's a possibility, at least a possible way to read the sugya and, you know, be able to sleep better at night. Thinking that this is what the rabbis were discussing. Okay, new Mishnah. And then it's basically taking an issue that has very broad ramifications in terms of family structure and all that. New Mishnah, moving a little bit off. We're back to the Benot Yisrael, okay? Derech Benot Yisrael Misham Shot B'Shnei Edim. Echad Lo V'Echad La. Okay, the general now, first of all, does this connect? Are we talking about all Benot Yisrael or only Benot Yisrael that are Sukkot Petarot? So Rashi assumes that this connects with the Mishnah we discussed previously, that a woman who's Bodeket Petarot also has to check before Tashmish that we saw in Daf Yud Aleph, and that we're only talking about a woman Oseket Petarot. The Rambam reads this Mishnah as all women. Even if you're not Oseket Petarot, even if you have a Vesek Kavua, you still need to do this. So, Derech Benot Yisrael Mishab Shop B'Shnei Edim. What two Edim are we talking about? Echad Lo V'Echad La. She checks and he checks. V'atznuot mitaknot shlishi l'takenet habayit. Okay, you can see the way they talked in Lashon, we call Sagina Hor. What does that mean? The tznuot, we'd use a bedikah cloth also before to make sure. L'takenet habayit means to make sure she's not in nida yet. Now we're going to have different options as to what did she find. Oh, by the way, I thought about the Lashon tznuot here. Why are they called tznuot? Possibly a reason why they're called tznuot is because, if you remember, what did we say? They can't check right before what the husband sees, because then libonokfo, and he won't want to sleep with her because he'll say, oh, she must have felt something and that's why she's checking. So it could be they mean here the tznuot, meaning as long as they do it in a tznuot manner, then they can check. Because if they do it tznuot and the husband doesn't see, well, then there's no issue of libonokfo. But if he's going to see, then it's dafka a problem. And maybe that's why they're called tznuot. Now we're going to have different possibilities about what could be found. Where and when. So nimtzal shelo, if it's on his bedikah cloth, whether it's immediately after having relations or whether it's later on, tmeim. They're for sure both tmeim. Now remember, what kind of tumah does he have? He's tamei shivat yamim, right? 7 days of tumah, he becomes tamei. Anyone who sleeps with a woman who's in nida becomes tamei for 7 days, besides isur karet. So if nimtzal shelo tmeim, And since it's Yisur Karei, but Bishkaga, what does he have to do? Bring a Korban Chatat. So Chayavim Korban. Nimtza Shela, so now we're going to have different possibilities, okay? Two or possibly even three. So if you find it on her Bediga cloth, if it's Atyum, if it's immediately, Tmeim V'chayavim B'Korban. So the same exact thing as him, right? He can find even after time, but if she finds immediately, then it's Tmeim, and they have to both bring a Korban. Nimtzal shela la'achar zman, but if it's after a certain time elapses, which we'll have to see how much time, tmeim misafek upturim min hakorban. Okay, they're both tamei misafek. This sounds a little strange. What do you mean they're both tamei misafek? If she finds blood on her bediga cloth, even after, she's obviously tamei because she's obviously bleeding. So some people say that tamei misafek is just kind of borrowing the words from the other section, and it really means she's for sure tamei, and it's really referring to him, that he's tamei misafek. And p'turim min korban. And, however, though, they're both exempt from korban. Now, theoretically, what should they have to bring? An asham talui. So they shouldn't really be p'turim min korban. We're going to get back to this in the Gemara later. Ezehu harzman. Now we get a description. Thankfully, the Mishnah is telling us. Right often, they just say things without describing and defining. We need a definition. What is la'acharzman that they're referring to, where you're going to be in this category where you're only tamei misafek and you don't have to bring a korban? Kedei she'tere min amita v'tadiach paneha. Okay, it means it's the time when she gets out of bed and she goes somewhere off the bed, right, with the bathroom or not, and she wipes herself. Okay, paneha means paneha shel mata, right? Not her face. So that's the time. But this is a good example of, and we're going to see how much complication it causes at the end when we get to the end of the daf, of where they didn't talk in language that we would talk about. We would say 5 seconds, 10 seconds, 15 seconds, right? We would define it by how much time. They define time in words, the amount of time it takes you to do this, right? Where's the most famous? And the famous because it's the first page of Shas, Meimatai Korin Shema Ba'aravin. And there's all these times given from when people come home from work and they start to cook, and when the poor person eats them, and the rich person eats them, and all different times that, you know, we're left to figure out, well, how much time is that, right? And what exactly is that time? And that's what the Gemara there is trying, in the beginning of Bracha, tries to figure out. So here also, we're getting descriptions, and you'll see how much confusion it causes when there's Brita that describes it in a different way. Is that the same amount of time? Is it longer? Is it shorter? Right? How do we view it? So that's the description they give in the Mishnah. And then it says, va'achar kach, and this becomes a little complicated. What's the achar kach? This is after she sees immediately, then tme'im b'chayvim b'korban. She sees la'achar zman, they're tme'im misafek and p'turim in akorban. And then it sounds like there's a third shlav, which is achar kach, if it's even later than that, mitama me'ed le'ed ve'ena mitamat bo'ala. Then she retroactively invalidates, right? Any tarot from before become tame'e, but she doesn't cause her husband or the guy she slept with to become tameh. Rabbi Akiva Omer af mitameh bo'ala. So about this is a machloket, is she mitameh bo'ala or not? Modim chachamim l'Rabbi Akiva b'ro'ah ketem shemitamat bo'ala. And if you remember, we learned this also previously. The rabbis, though, agree with Rabbi Akiva that if it's a ketem, meaning she finds something on her clothes later and she doesn't know when it was from, theoretically it could have been from then, it's just she only sees it now, and then even Chachamim would agree that her husband becomes Tameh the 7 days, because it's likely that the blood came then. Okay, Gemara starts off and says, okay, we're now going to talk about these lice bugs they had, okay? V'nichush dilma dam acholetu. When she does this check, and he checks, either which way, and they find blood, maybe the blood came from some louse that was inside her body. And when, right, they did the bedika, or maybe when he was inside, it crushed this ma'acholet, and that's what the blood is from. And maybe it's not from her body at all, right? Not from her uterus. So they say, why aren't we concerned for this? So Amar Rabbi Zera, oto makom baduku etza ma'acholet. That means there's no chance louses don't go in there, okay? They just don't go in there. It's not an option. So a different interpretation is dachuku etza ma'acholet. Another option is to say it's a very tight area and it's very hard for the ma'acholet to get in there. Okay, so now, my benayu, what's the difference between the two? Ika benayu, right, one is saying there's no way, and one is saying it's unlikely. So that's going to be the difference. Ika benayu di'ishtekach ma'acholet ritzufa. If you find on the A bedika, okay, you have this bedika cloth and you have a dead bug, and next to the dead bug you have, you know, a little bit away from it, you have some blood. So if you see both the crushed bug and blood on the side of it, so lahach lishnet amar baduku, that for sure there's no way it got in there, so hame alma ate. So then you can assume that the bug came from outside, right? Somehow it came, you know, after. And the blood, therefore, must have come from inside her, because it's not coming from the bug. Because if it came from the bug, it would be, the blood would be right where the bug is, okay? But if it's to the side, then you can assume the blood came from there. But lahach nishna da'amar dahuku, but if you say it's hard for it to get in, but theoretically it could, emash shamash ritzafa, it could be that when the husband went in, he crushed the bug, and then the blood that came out, right, out came both a bug and some blood. Yes, very pleasant thoughts. Okay, itmar. Now we're going to have another machloket. Okay, this is all about basically what we're trying to deal with, again, if we can get beyond all the grotesque details of this. What they're really dealing with is sfeikot, right? We see this blood. We don't know where is it from. So can we assume that, you know, do we assume it's for sure coming from her and from her uterus? Or can we claim it's coming from somewhere else? So there's now a machloket. Badka, be'ed. Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's so far-fetched to think that she had creepy crawlers going inside.
But you might say, you know, it's far-fetched, might, you know, because in our world, it's not likely.
You know, they're not discussing any type of venereal diseases or anything like that that could also cause problems and irregular bleeding.
Right.
Which would make scientifically more sense than something like this.
I guess. But you have to think about, you know, what their society was and how many bugs they had crawling around. And, you know, I've been in places, I mean, it's kind of gross, but, you know, where you find ants crawling in the bed or things like that. And there were, you know, nowadays our houses are much cleaner and we don't have that kind of stuff going on. But in other places, third world countries, it's very common.
Into your orifices.
Right. It's quite odd for that to happen. I agree. And they even say it's quite odd. I mean, both of them say it's very unlikely or impossible. So it's not like they really think that. But that's the question. So now we're going to have this question. Okay, this is a weird case. So she checks on an eid habadukla. Okay, there's always two types of eidei bedika. One that she checked beforehand to make sure it was clean, and one that she forgot to check before to make sure it was clean, which means that now, right, there's a suffix already that maybe when she sees blood on it, maybe it was from before, and maybe it was dirty. So in this case, she checks with an eid that was badukla. It was checked already. And then she sticks it on her leg, okay, whether it was on purpose or by accident. I'm guessing she didn't put it on purpose. Okay, so after checking, she didn't look at the bediga cloth, and it gets stuck to her leg. And then the mahar, okay, the next day it's no longer stuck to her leg, but what does she see on her leg, right where the bediga cloth was? Matzah lehadam. She finds blood on her leg there. So amarav tme'anida. Okay, this is clearly blood since it's exactly where the bediga cloth was. And the bediga cloth was clean before she checked. It's obvious that the blood came from there, and the blood, therefore, she's tme'anida. Amar le Rav Shimi bar Chiya, v'hachosheshet amar lan. But didn't you tell us, Rav, in a different this time we had this discussion, that you're choshesh mishum tme'anida, meaning it's only safek nida, not vaday nida, right? What's the obvious ramification? If it's only safek, then if she comes in contact with truma, what are we going to say? We don't burn it. Remember, we leave it in the middle, right? We can't eat it, but we don't burn it. So notice Rav doesn't answer. The Mefreshim assume that Rav doesn't answer because Rav changed his mind. Okay, I don't know why he didn't explain. I changed my mind. That would have been helpful. But the point is, I don't think that anymore. Itmar Nami, it was also said, not only did Rav say this, but Amar Shmuel, tme'anida, v'chei morim be'midrasha, tme'anida. Okay, not only that, but Shmuel also said, she's vadai tame in this case, tme'a, and also other rabbis taught that in the Beit Midrash. Another case, Itmar. Badka be'ed she'eno badukla. She now checks with an aid that wasn't checked beforehand. Okay? There's a big debate, and it has important ramifications, about whether it was never checked, or whether it was checked, let's say, a day or two ago. Okay? And whether you say that or that will affect how you learn the halacha from this case. So she checks with an aid that wasn't checked. V'hi nachto b'kufsa. Then, again, she didn't look at it. She puts it in a box. You have to wonder why they didn't check if the whole idea was to look. But it's very likely it was dark. And generally, they were having sex at night. They didn't have lights or anything, and even a candle is not enough to really check. So she leaves it for the morning. It's actually not a crazy scenario. Ulemachar matzah alav dam. So what's the situation? Can we assume maybe the dam came from somewhere else? Or do we assume that the dam came, what's the issue here? Number one, she didn't see it right away, so maybe dam came from somewhere else. And number two, it wasn't an aid that she had checked. So now, right, again, if it, she had checked right away, you would have seen, is it fresh blood or not fresh blood? But at this point, it's not fresh blood anyway, and we don't know. Maybe it was dirty from before, since she didn't check. So, Amar Rav Yosef, Kol Yamav Shel Rabbi Chiya Timei Uleitzik Nato Tiher. All of Rabbi Chiya's life, he thought that this was Tamei, but as he got older, he changed his mind. He decided this is Tahor. So now they have a big question about this. Ibai Lehu, Hechi Kamar Kol Yamav Timei. Hechi Kamar. How do we mean Kol Yamav Timei Mishum Nida? Does it mean that originally he thought she's, okay, they're using the words a little, they're borrowing the word ketem here. Ketem has a particular meaning. It means if you're spotting. It's not when you check with a bedika. But here, what they mean is ketem were generally more mekel, and what they're saying is mishum ketem means mishum safek. She's only tmeya misafek, not vadai. So does it mean that when he was in his early years, he was mitame vadai. That's what teme nida means, vadai nida. And as he got older, he said, well, she's not vadai nida, she's only safek nida. O dilma, or do we say, kol yamav teme mishum ketem, uleitzik nato tiher mifilo klum? Or was it one level lower? Originally, he thought it was tame misafek, because anyway, she didn't never check the aid. So how could you say she's tame vadai? And as he got older, he said, she's totally fine, it's nothing. Right, we have like a sveika here, because safek, maybe it was already dirty, and another safek, maybe the blood came from somewhere else. So tashma. So let's learn from here, and here you're going to find it's an interesting way that they learn it out. Titania, here's a braita that discusses a machloka between Rabbi Chiya and Rebbe about this. Badka be'ed she'eno badukla, exactly our case. V'hi nachto b'kufsan, she put it in a box. Ula machar matzah alav dam. Rabbi Omer Tmei'a Mishum Nida, Rabbi Chiya Amar Tmei'a Mishum Ketem. Okay, so now, Rabbi said Nida, Rabbi Chiya said Ketem. Doesn't help us because either which way, Rabbi Chiya either said Mishum Ketem when he was younger, or he said Mishum Ketem when he was older, right? According to the first reading, he eventually said Tmei'a Mishum Ketem, and according to the second reading, he said Mishum Ketem in the beginning and then changed his mind later. So the question is, they're going to somehow establish. He says Mishum Ketem that we know in this Braita. The question is, was he older when he had this discussion with Rebbe, or was he younger? Okay, the first thing to know is that Rabbi Chiya was Rebbe's student, okay, and later became a colleague of his, okay, as he got older. So Amar lo Rabbi Chiya says to Rebbe, according to the Braita, Iyata modesh etzricha kegris ve'od. Don't you agree with me, though, that it has to have a size of a gris ve'od? Now, what's the significance of the size of a gris ve'od? Like the size of a what do they call it? I think it's a afuna, a pea, okay, a pea or a barley grease. So it has to be a certain size ve'od. In other words, that size and a little larger, because if it's kegris exactly or less, we can assume it came from a maholet, from a lice bug. So if that's the case, right, he's saying, well, that's the realm of ketamim, right? Anyone who knows laws of ketamim, if you have spotting, so it's all a question of how big your spot is based on the size of the bugs that they had in those days. Okay, we'll get to that. Now, what about nowadays? Okay, anyway, we don't have these bugs, but we still keep all those laws. That, by the way, is very interesting halacha. It makes a lot of sense for us. Basically, the Chatam Sofer says, why are we holding, when it comes to ketamim, laws that have already changed, right? In other words, the reality has changed. He claims, not that they don't have lice bugs in those days, but theirs are much smaller. So why are we still matiring all this blood that's larger when we know it for sure didn't come from a lice bug? And what he says is this. The whole issue of ketamim only came from tahara, the world of taharot that we've been learning. And we don't really need to do it anymore. In other words, once, what happened? The rabbi said, well, because she's usher for taharot, we'll forbid her, because she is impure when it comes to taharot, we'll forbid her to her husband. Otherwise, people are going to mock the whole halacha. So therefore, he says, so it's just a gzeira. Now, once there was no Beit HaMikdash, we no longer have Taharot anymore. Theoretically, we should be able to get rid of this halacha, but we don't do that. We don't just erase things. You know, gzeira you need Kadomi Meda B'chochma B'minyan to cancel it. But he says, but we're not going to be more machmir than they were, so if that size was good for them, that size is good for us, right? That's his theory. So anyway, he says, don't you agree that it's kugrisvod? Amar lei avam. We saw that term before a few days ago. It means, yes, you're right, I do agree with you. So Amar lo, so Rabbi Chiya says to him, if you agree that it's kugrisvod, well, that's already the realm of ketamim in Suffolk world. So im ken, afatas, sito ketem. So it's clear that you view it like a ketem. The Rebbe savar, so now they explain. How did Rebbe hold that it's tamim mishum nida vadai, and yet you need a grease? Because Rebbe Savar, be'inan kegris ba'od, la'afuke midam ma'acholet. Be'kevan denafik la'midam ma'acholet, vadai migufa'ata. Rebbe doesn't understand kegris ba'od as being, oh, because it's only sapek, and we'll be mekel, and say, well, we can attribute it to a louse. But no, he says, very simply, if it's the size of a grease or less, then we can assume it came from a louse. But if it's not, then we have nothing else to say it came from. It must come from her, from inside. And that determined for him, it's vadai. So the size doesn't mean he deals with it as if it's safek. The size is just a way of verifying where the blood came from. So now, what does this have to do with? How do we know? Again, the whole thing was that Rabbi Chiya says, it's mishum ketem, which means safek. And then the question becomes, how do we know whether he was young when he had this discussion with Rebbe or older? So comes the Gemara and says, "My lab beziknuto kai." It must be that he said it when he was beziknuto. Habi yaldu, and therefore one can infer what habi yalduto when he was younger. Timei mishum nida shma mina. So it ends up the Rabbi Chiya. They conclude. I'll get to it in a minute how exactly they concluded this, but they conclude that this was beziknuto, and therefore it's clear that he doesn't matir all the way. He just matirs mishum safek. What made them say beziknuto? So a few different interpretations, either because some people say he certainly wouldn't have gotten into a whole discussion and questioned Rabbi Chiya questioned Rebbe if Rebbe was his rabbi, like he wouldn't have questioned him at all. And other people say, what do you mean? Students question their rabbis all the time. Of course that goes on. And think about this when you get to the next sugya in a minute. It'll connect a little bit. But he wouldn't have done it in a disrespectful manner. In other words, a little bit this discussion is a little bit like, I know a lot and you don't almost. And he doesn't say, you know, Rebbe, maybe this, you know, listen to his lashon. He says, Iyatamoded, do you not admit? It's a little pushy, right? And then after he says, yes, I do agree with you, so then he says, Imken, afatas, ito ketem, right? And he's kind of saying, well, then clearly you think it's ketem, even though you say not. So the way it's the tone and the way in which he spoke proves that, now again, you still should always speak with respect, but there's a different relationship. Once he was older, his relationship with Rebbe changed than when it was when he was younger. So that's their proof. Mishtabach le Rebbe, le Rabbi Yishmael, b'Rabbi Yossi, b'Rabbi Chama, b'Rabbi Yisa. There's a bit of a confusing line. What happened here? Rebbe praised in front of Rabbi Yishmael, b'Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chama, b'Rabbi Yisa. Meaning, in very simple terms, I was just trying to have you read it in the words. Rebbe said to Rabbi Yishmael how great Rabbi Chama, b'Rabbi Yisa is. Now, he had never met Rabbi Chama, b'Rabbi Yisa, okay? But Mishtabach le Rebbe, le da Adam Gadolu. Okay, he says, this guy, Rabbi Chama, b'Rabbi Yisa, is a real Talmid Chacham. Amar lo, so Rabbi Yishmael says, I want to check out, right? Sometimes when people say, you know, they're very effusive, people are like, oh, you're being effusive, you know, let me check it out for myself. So, ki'ata, when he came, when he arrived in the city, Amar le ba'amine milta. So Rabbi Yishmael says to Rabbi Chama Rabbi Yisa, ask me a question. Ba'amine, what question did he ask? None other than our question. Badka, right? Interesting. This is the one question he asked. I don't know why. Badka be'ed she'eno badukla, v'inachto b'kufsa, ulamachar matza le'adam mahu. So he says, what's the halacha? So instead of Rabbi Yishmael answering, he wants to kind of trip him up. So he says to him the following. Amar lo, k'divrei Abba emalach, o k'divrei Rebbe emalach. Do you want to hear it in the name of my father, Rabbi Yossi? Now, again, you have to understand relationships. Rabbi Yossi was the rabbi of Rebbe. Before we have Rabbi Chiya, who was the Talmid of Rebbe. Now we have Rabbi Yossi, who was the rabbi of Rebbe and was also the father of Rabbi Yishmael. So Rabbi Yishmael says, do you want to hear what my father had to say about it, or do you want to hear what Rebbe had to say about it? Amar le, k'divrei Rebbe emali. It's almost like he set him up. He should have said my father. Right, exactly. And almost like my father, instead of saying Rabbi Yossi, I say my father, like as if you're going to insult me if you don't say you want my father. But in fact, he does kind of insult him, and he says, I want to hear k'divrei Rebbe. Amar Rabbi Yishmael, zeu shomrim alav da'adam gadol hu, This is an Adam Gadol. He'ach menichim divrei harav v'shom'im divrei ha'talmid. That's why I said this connects a little with the previous. How can you choose to paskin if you have an option to take the Rav or take the student? You should obviously want the Rav. So why did he want Rebbe and not Rabbi Yossi? Now we're going to explain what Rabbi Chama Bar Bisa was thinking. Rabbi Chama Bar Bisa, Sava Reb, this is what he held, Sava, Rebbe Resh Metiv Tehu. He was the head of a yeshiva. Ushchiche Rabbanan Kamei Umechadide Shmatite. Here's where it really connects to the previous sugya, because what does it say? Because he had so many students, they asked him a lot of questions, and his shmuot became, his learning became much sharper as a result, because of all the questions that were asked. Which is interesting, because what just happened in the previous sugya? Rabbi Chia asked Rebbe a question, and in the end, Rebbe doesn't agree with Rabbi Chia, but he sharpens his opinion. He says, you're right that it's kigris, but it's for a different reason it's kigris, and not because of why you think it's kigris. So here you see that, you know, it's again, this is another way of the Gemara praising their style of learning, that by asking questions, that makes you much sharper. So now, it's interesting, he asked the question. It obviously wasn't important what the answer was, because it was more the question that was important, and how Rabbi Yisrael tried to, you know, check out, is he really a good guy or not? An Adam Gadol who? But now the Gemara wants to tell you, okay, well, my Rebbe and my Rabbi Yossi, what are their two different opinions? We already know Rebbe, we saw, but let's see. Amar Rav Ada Bar Matna, Tana, and the Braita, it says, Rebbe mitameh v'Rabbi Yossi mitaher. Okay, so Rebbe's mitameh, as we saw, he already said in the discussion with Rabbi Chia, he's mitameh mishum nida, and Rabbi Yossi is mitaher. And Rabbi Zera said about the following machloket, Kishatimei Rebbe ke Rabbi Meir. Ukishatiher Rabbi Yossi latzmo tiher. When Rebbe was metame, it was because he was holding like Rabbi Meir. But when Rabbi Yossi was metaher, it was his own opinion. It wasn't that he learned it from somebody else. How do we know? What is the connection to Rabbi Meir? Titania, now we're going to get to a different case, but they're going to connect it. Titania, and here we get to another case where it's a little unclear what's going on here physiologically. Hayisha shaita usatzracheha, a woman, while she's urinating, verata dam, okay, blood comes out in her urine. Rabbi Meir omer, im omedet, tme'a. Okay, interesting. If she's standing when urinating, she's tme'a. Im yoshevet, tehora. Okay, so the Mefreshim again try to figure out, what does amida have anything to do with it? Rashi explains that when she's omedet, dechukahi, okay, she's obviously, she has to urgently urinate, and that's why she's standing, okay, possibly. And because of that, again, this is all just, they're trying to come up with a theory what it would be, and then, I have to explain, I don't know exactly how this works, because she's urgently has to urinate, so somehow there's an assumption that the blood, that the urine kind of goes inside before going outside, and kind of can collect blood from the that's coming out of the uterus. Okay, again, physiologically, this is hard to understand, so we'll just have to kind of take it as this is how he viewed it. Again, it doesn't have to make sense physiologically. It just has to make sense in Rabbi Meir's world of what he thought made sense. So we momedet me'a im yoshevet tehora. Rabbi Yossi omer, right? Because then again, tehora, we assume that's just the normal way she urinates, and generally blood doesn't come from the uterus when you're urinating normally. Rabbi Yossi omer ben kach u ben kach tehora. Either which way she's tehora, blood doesn't come out from the uterus in the urine. Amar le Rav Acha bere de Rav le Rav Ashi. 1 second, let's just explain before we go on. So what's the connection here? So you see here, when there's a case of safek, what do we say? We're mitame mishum nida, right? In other words, in this case, Rabbi Meir goes and says that we're going to assume that she's mitame mishum nida, and therefore we're going to say it's the same thing when it comes to Rebbe, who also says we're mitame mishum nida, right? Therefore, we're going to be choshesh that it comes from somewhere else. Okay? Right. In other words, what's similar is that Rebbe is claiming that when she checked with this aid that was not Baduk, there was a chance that it came from somewhere else, but we're still going to say it's a problem. And that's what Rabbi Meir is saying. There's a chance that the blood is coming not from the uterus, but we're going to be machmir in any case, right? When we think that there's a good chance it came from there. And why is there a good chance? Again, because we can assume that women are muhzeket b'dami. Right? That's always what's pushing them in these sefek cases to be machmir, because there's an assumption that when the wound's bleeding, that it's coming from the uterus. Okay? There's also a debate about whether Rabbi Yossi says tehora, does he mean entirely Torah, or does he mean Mishum Safek? Again, we're constantly grappling with this, just like we have with Rabbi Chiya, where, you know, what did he mean when he said Torah? Is it Torah Misafek or Torah Vadai? Okay, so now we're going to say Veha, right? Amarle Rav Acha. So now we have Amarle Rav Acha Bereja Rav Le Rav Ashi. So Rav Acha, the son of Rav, says to Rav Ashi, Veha Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina. Okay, didn't Rabbi Aha Amar Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina? He said the following: Kishitime Rabbi Meir lo time ela mishum ketem v'ilu Rabbi mishum nida kama. Okay, he said when Rabbi Meir was mitame, he was only mitame mishum ketem, meaning safek tuma in this case when she urinates. But Rabbi was mitame mishum nida. So how can you say that Rabbi learned it from Rabbi Meir if Rabbi Meir was talking about safek and Rabbi was talking about vadai? So Amar Lei, Anan. So Rav Ashi answers him, Anan Hachi Kamrinan. You have the wrong Masoret. I have the Ki Itmar Ahi Mishum Nida Itmar. Then Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina said, Kishitime Rabbi Meir, he was Mitame Mishum Nida. Okay, so there's a debate about whether Rabbi Meir was Mitame Mishum Nida or Mishum Ketem. And according to this sugya, you'd have to say it was Mitame Mishum Nida. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense to say that Rabbi held like Rabbi Meir. Okay, now we're going back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah talked about Atyom, if she sees immediately. And then La'achar Zman, and then we had even after La'achar Zman. So Tanu Rabbanan, Ezehu Shiur Veset, and this we learned already, Mashal Shamash Ve'ed Shomdim B'tzad HaMashkof, it's like right, the man's Ever is standing right next to the Eid B'dika, right, in the entrance to the woman's body, V'tiyat Shamash Nichnas Eid, that's Havei Veset, and Havei Veset Sha'amru L'kinuach Havalo L'B'dika. So the only time it could be immediate is if she cleans herself externally and not internally, because by the time she would go and do an internal bedika, already too much time would have passed, and she wouldn't be tamei vadai, and neither would he. Nimtzal shela la'achar zman, tana, v'chayavim asham taloi. Ah, now we go back and we said, why aren't they chayav and asham taloi if it's after time has elapsed? Shouldn't they be chayav and asham taloi, which is a korban that we bring when it's a suffix, whether you're chayav achatat or not? So in fact, the Braita says, yes, in this case, you're in fact chayav and asham taloi. Bitana didam, but they say our Mishnah obviously didn't think so, because our Mishnah says p'turim mi korban. It sounds like you're patur in general. Now one could say our Mishnah means patur mi korban chatat b'chaya b'korban asham, but they assume the Tana of our Mishnah didn't think that. Why? Now this goes back to something we learned. Be'inan chaticha mishte chatikot. Do you remember this? That in order to be chayav and asham taloi, there's a machloket. Is it only in a case where there's a piece of chaylev and a piece of shuman? And, right, they're both in front of you, and the question is, did you eat that one or that one? Where there's vadai isser, it's just a question, did you do the isser or not? As opposed to, in this case, there's blood, but the blood might have come later, and there's a suffix whether, bichlal, she was in nida at the time, or she wasn't in nida at the time. That is a source of machloket, whether you bring an ashram talay on a case like that. So therefore, our Mishnah says no, and the Braita says yes. Okay, because they hold differently about that machloket. Now we're going to get into the issue of time. Ezu achar zman. So the achar zman mentioned in the Mishnah, right, was she basically goes, she gets off her bed and she wipes herself. So now, right, it doesn't say like she walks to the bathroom or something, right? We don't know exactly. It's a little tricky to understand how long that takes. Now we're going to say this contradicts another source, Uramini. Ezehu achar zman, peresh Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Tzadok, kedei shetoshit yada tachat akar or tachat akeset, she puts her hand under her pillow or under her blanket, v'titol e'vitivdok bo. Now that sounds much quicker, because all she has to do is take her hand, find her bedika cloth, and use it, as opposed to getting out of her bed and wiping herself. Now, by the way, it doesn't say when you get out of bed, was the bedika cloth already in her hand, or did she have to find the bedika cloth, right? That's also a good question. So Amar Rav Chista, my achar, achar, achar. Okay, when it says la'achar zman in our Mishnah, that describes seemingly a period that took longer, they're referring to the third shlav, right? There's immediately, there's after, and then there's after the after part. So now, you have to look at the Mishnah again, because otherwise you're not going to follow. So look at the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, nimtzal shalat yom tme'im v'chayvim v'korban. Nimtzal shalat la'achar zman tme'im isafek u'pturim min korban. Then the Mishnah says, Ezu achar zman, which sounds like it's describing this stage that we just mentioned, but the Gemara is saying, no, it's describing the upcoming stage. Okay? So now you're going to see why it's a little tricky, because it says, Ezu achar zman, as if it's discussing the previous description. כדי שתראה מן המיטה ותתיח פניה שמעתה. Then it says, ba'achar kach, but after that, mitama me'elei, ve'ina mitama ad bo'ala. And then on that, there's a machlokik, so Rabbi Akiva says, af mitama ad bo'ala. So they're going to basically question, if you say that achar zman of getting out of bed is already the later stage, right, it doesn't make sense. Ba'hakatani ala, nimtzal shala la'achar zman, tme'im misafek upturim min ha'korban, ezu achar zman, kadesh tereim min ha'mitav etadiyach paneh. Right? Sounds like from the Mishnah that the achar zman is discussing the in-between stage and not the later stage, which then again sets up that there's a contradiction from the Braita and the Mishnah. Now, you could just simply say the Braita and the Mishnah are two different opinions about how exactly to define achar zman. But as the Gemara often likes to make all those sources work together, doesn't want to give that answer. So what does the Gemara say? Hachi kamar, this is how it should read, and really the words should say, chisur machasre v'hachi katani. There's actually words missing in the Mishnah, and this is how the Mishnah should read. Ezehu achar zman, what's considered after zman? Now, they're going to fill in the words of the Braita there. Okay? Kedesha toshit yada letocha taro, letocha karo, letocha keset, vititol e vitivdokbo. U kedesha tere min amita vitadiach panea, machloka Rabbi Akiva b'chachamim. V'ha achar kach, so period. Okay? So what they're basically saying is, read the Mishnah as, ezehu achar zman, instead of saying what we have, fill in first the first interpretation, and then say, and after that, the next stage is getting out of bed, actually. So then they say, v'ha'achar kach katani, but it says in the Mishnah, right after that, it says, and after that, there's a machloket. So, what do they say? Hachi kamar, this is what it means, b'zehu achar kach shenechleku Rabbi Akiva b'chachamim. That's the achar kach. Right? And the line you just explained, oh, well, that's the achar kach, that on that there's a machloket. Okay, so you have to explain the Mishnah, not really according to Lipshuta. That's one explanation. The second we're going to see is Rav Ashi, and tomorrow we'll get to a question on Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi amar, idi v'idi chad shiurahu. E biada, kadesh tere min amita v'tadiach et paneh. Ein e biada, kadesh toshit yada, l'tachad akkaro, l'tachad akkesef, v'titol e v'tivdokbo. He says basically, right, like I said, in the beginning of, in Bracha, you know, we don't know what all these times are. In the end, they say some of these times are actually the same time, just different people are describing it in different ways. They're different situations. If she's got an Ebedik in her hand, then she gets out of bed and she wipes herself, and that's the same amount of time as she doesn't have the Ebedik, she has to find it while she's in bed and then wipe herself. So either which way, it's the same time, and that's another way to resolve there. It really is no contradiction, and that makes the Mishnah make a lot more sense. And you could say, well, why they describe it one way that way and one way that way? Well, that's just because each person described it in their own way, and that shouldn't really bother us.